But I want to bring a message to you today and carry us through our teaching time as those buckets are passed. And before we get to baptisms, we got a lot to celebrate this morning. We've been in a series called The Greatest Stories Ever Told that are focused on stories that Jesus told that are known as parables, the parables of Jesus. And today I want to look with you at a very simple, rather well-known parable that is called the Parable of the Lost Sheep. And so if you would take your bulletin, find that, the bulletin that you received on your way in, and if you open it up, there are some verses inside, and we're going to look at those verses together. This parable of the lost sheep is told about in both Matthew's gospel as well as Luke's gospel. So we get it twice in the New Testament. We're looking at Luke's telling of this story this morning in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Let's see what it says. It says, "Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach." Now we could pause right there. That statement alone is quite remarkable. That tax collectors and notorious sinners often came to hear Jesus speak. Tax collectors in that context, in that day and age, were not likable characters. These were some bad guys. They were corrupt traitors to their people. These are con artists and Ponzi schemers and sort of the Bernie Madoffs of the day that are ripping off their neighbors. That's the tax collectors. And then you've got the notorious sinners, not just sinners, but the notorious ones. We're all sinners, but these people, they didn't care if you knew their sin or not. They just they didn't care anymore. They sinned and they sinned out in the open, and they were apathetic about that. And those are the people. Something about Jesus, something about who he was and what he spoke about, drew the attention of those people. They often came to listen to Jesus teach. But as you can imagine, look at verse 2. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, those religious leaders in the community, complain that Jesus was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Older translations ironically say they complained, saying, "He receives sinners," which of course is exactly what he came to do. And so Jesus, hearing them complain, told them this story. "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he'll call together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away." Pretty simple little story. But right off the bat, I don't want any of us to make the mistake this morning of thinking that this parable that Jesus tells is just for sinners, is just for those who need a shepherd to find them. This story is for all of us. You need a shepherd. Every one of us this morning, on this side of the street, on the north side of the street, every one of us here needs a shepherd. So everyone with open ears and open minds, let's consider what Jesus says to you this morning in this parable. First, let me tell you how a sheep gets lost to begin with. Sheep live together in flocks. And it's crucial that they stay together under the watchful eye of the shepherd. In fact, by the way, how many of you have sheep? Anybody? Okay, one guy over here's got some sheep. The vast majority of us probably have never lived around sheep, and that's true of me as well. So I had to do a little bit of research to figure out the life of sheep and shepherds, because there's probably not too many sheep herders in the room. Actually, Bakery was a goat herder. He told me before the service that this really took him back, listening to this description, but doesn't take us back. So we got to learn a little bit about some sheep here. So sheep live together in flocks, and it's crucial that they stay together under the watchful eye of a shepherd. A sheep can't just go anywhere and eat anything. The shepherd has to lead his sheep to green pastures. A sheep can't just drink from any water. If the water's flowing too fast or if it's splashing too much, a sheep won't drink that. The shepherd has to lead sheep to still water. The sheep are absolutely dependent on the shepherd. A sheep can't defend itself. A sheep can get stuck and won't be able to get its way out. The wool that grows on sheep has to be sheared often enough because the wool can actually grow so much that it becomes too heavy for a sheep to stand up and walk on its own. In fact, there are some funny images of that on Google if you want to look it up. But this is a life of a sheep, totally dependent on the shepherd. And there's another thing that's true about sheep. They are singularly focused on one thing, and that is eating grass. In fact, a sheep can become so focused on eating grass and what it's eating right in front of it, a sheep can eat its way right off the side of a cliff if the shepherd is not watching out for it. This is the life of a sheep. A sheep is not adventurous. They aren't curious to know what's on the other side of that hill over there. And so sheep get lost by nibbling their way lost. Sheep just nibble. They nibble and nibble and nibble and they never look up and they nibble their way out of the shepherd's watch. And so I want to say to us this morning, be careful what you nibble on. That's the first lesson from these sheep. Be careful what you nibble on. Be careful what your mind feeds on. Because we can all start out tomorrow morning wanting to live our lives to the glory of God, to make Christ known through our lives, and we get to work, and everybody came to work nibbling on something. Some people are nibbling on gossip, and some are nibbling on crude jokes or racist remarks. Some are nibbling on Friday and Saturday night's exploits. Some are nibbling on politics. They're nibbling on all kinds of things. And some people are nibbling in directions where Jesus is nowhere in sight. And it is amazingly easy for us to just start nibbling along until we nibble our way into becoming who we never intended to be. We can nibble our way into debt. We can nibble our way into addictions. We can nibble our way into affairs. We can nibble our way into all kinds of trouble. Be careful what you nibble on. And it happens in so many ways. It happens with what we watch. It happens with what we look at, what we listen to. It happens with the food that we eat to comfort and ache in our soul. It happens through loneliness, through anger, through carelessness, and through arrogance. It happens when we lose sight of our deep and great need for a shepherd, for the Lord to be your shepherd. to shepherd every area, every thought, every feeling, everything, every need that you have. Because a sheep cannot survive without its shepherd. It sounds so empowering to be the master of my own destiny and the Lord of my own life, and the gospel of the day is to follow your heart. But let me tell you, your heart and my heart need a shepherd. Because my heart can nibble off into trouble. My heart can stray away. My heart can land me in some lost places. You know what can happen in your life when you just follow your heart to whatever it is that you want. You've been there. There's a verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, a kind of prophecy that was spoken long before Jesus taught about sheep and shepherd. Isaiah gives this prophecy about all of us. He says, "We have all like sheep strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own." Don't lose sight of your deep and great need for the Lord to shepherd your life. You weren't made to nibble off on your own. That's how we get lost. But look back at our parable. What does God do with lost people? What does the shepherd do when one of his sheep is lost? Jesus asks the crowd this question. He says, "Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that's lost until he finds it?" And I don't want you to miss this. Jesus is describing the shepherd in this story as being reckless in his devotion to the lost sheep. This would have been the surprise in Jesus' parable to his listeners. Having 100 and one gets lost, does the shepherd leave the 99 out in the wilderness to look for the one until he finds it? Or let me ask you, would it be reasonable if you were that shepherd to count your losses, be glad you only lost one, and head home with 99 that you still have? Would you really leave the 99 out in the wilderness? What would happen to them? Who is this shepherd who is so reckless in his search for one lost sheep? Well, the historical context of this story tells us something, because Jesus is speaking this, remember, to the teachers of religious law in the Jewish context. These are people who were well-versed in the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies. And they knew that throughout the Old Testament, God had spoken of himself like a shepherd to sheep. And even in Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 34, God himself says, "I will come and search and gather lost people." And Jesus is telling the crowd very clearly, this is who he is. In Jesus Christ, God has come to seek and save the lost. And he is reckless in his devotion to that mission. In this shepherd, Jesus reveals a unique characteristic of God that I don't know that we often think about, but he reveals an agitation in the nature of God, a dissatisfaction, a discontentment in God's character. He is restless. He will not stop until the lost sheep is found. He is on a mission, and he will not stop until that mission is complete. He seeks you, and he seeks me, and he seeks more of us and more from us until we give him all that we are. Until my life is entirely wrapped around my devotion to Jesus. Jesus is calling to me, looking for me, appealing to me. This is who he is. This is the one who seeks after you until you are found. Sometimes we can picture God as this passive judge on his throne, just waiting to judge us. But it gives us this picture that though he does have the authority to judge, and he does have the authority to call you and summon you to himself, he moves with that authority and that calling towards each one of us, seeking to find us. Those of you who are getting baptized this morning, he found you. None of you were good enough, smart enough, holy enough, right enough to go search for him. You responded to a God who was finding you. And he is God Almighty. He found you in places you didn't want to be found. He found you in places that you think, how in the world did I get there? He found you in places where you never thought you would need to be found. He found you, and he will never rest from finding each one of us again and again and again. And he will carry us where he wants us to be. This is who our God is. He is a shepherd looking for lost sheep. He is God, the ruler of all. He's the definition of what is right and good and perfect. He is truth. He is the source of life, the designer and sustainer of this world, the beginning and the end. We cannot stop him from finding lost sheep. We cannot confine him. All we can do, all you did when you gave your life to Jesus, every one of you who have come to faith in him, all you can do is just turn to him and accept him for who he is. He is God, and he searches for you. That's who's found you. Through Jesus Christ, yeah, you can clap, clap. You've been found by Almighty God. You cannot clean yourself up for him. You cannot put on the appearance that you don't need him to come for you. You can't pretend that you've got it all together, because he comes after you and he finds you. In fact, I'm convinced that we don't even know how to look for him unless he shows himself. It would be like you trying to find the oxygen in the air that you are breathing. You don't have to find it. It finds you. You must receive it. So how do we respond then to this God who comes looking for us? Because this shepherd's love is a rescuing love. Jesus says that heaven rejoices over repentance and not performance. Heaven rejoices over repentance and not performance. You got to church this morning, you came to the early service, and I'm proud of you, but heaven's not really impressed with that. Heaven's impressed when we repent. Heaven rejoices over repentance, not performance. God's love is a rescuing kind of love, and that is a better love. It's a greater love than merely an approval of good behavior. His love is a redeeming love. A love that results in rejoicing over repentance rather than performance. It's a search and rescue love. That's what God's perfect love is. The Bible says it's the kind of love that casts out fear, that covers a multitude of sin, that seeks and saves the lost. Like Tommy said, it's the love that picks us up out of miry clay and sets our feet upon a rock. This is God's love. This is his rescuing love. And it's one thing to earn love, but it's one thing to be so right and so well behaved and so disciplined and so successful that on your own you're a lovable person. But it's another thing to know you need rescuing. And some of you know the mess that you're in this morning, and some of you don't know the mess that you're going to get yourself into. You just keep living, though. You'll find it. And you're going to find a time when you know you need a shepherd to rescue you. Some of you know that you have sought to live a good life, a right life, and you've disciplined yourself, to live so that you even look like Jesus. You're like the 99 who did what you were supposed to do, so much so that you can start to think, I don't really need a shepherd. I'm good. I can do this on my own. The shepherd, that idea is for those who are really desperate. Or maybe you even go as far as to say this whole idea of a need for God is a crutch for the weak. You might not be convinced that you need a Savior. And I'm not here today to convince you that there is a Savior. I'm here to tell you who He is. And when you realize that you need Him, He's already reached His hand down for you. I'm here to tell you that when you find yourself in need of a shepherd, He's already been looking for you. When your life needs rescuing, God has a rescuing love for you. Do you know that when sheep realize that they are lost, they just lay down and they stop eating and they stop drinking until the shepherd comes to find them and carry them home? Somebody who heard the message last night said to me this morning, boy, I wish I could learn that from the sheep. When I know I'm in trouble, I just lay down. That's what they do until the shepherd comes and he puts them on his shoulders and he carries them home. I'll never forget one Easter at the church that I grew up in Texas. They put on a big Easter musical production, and it was, Bible time sets and fake beards and cheesy musical numbers and dramatic lines delivered by people who shouldn't have been trying to be actors, and it was amateur theater at its best. There was one scene, though, that I will never forget in that production. And it was the scene when a man depicted this image of a shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulders. And a woman was on stage singing a very touching song about Jesus being the good shepherd. And out of the back doors of the sanctuary and down the center aisle came this man dressed as a shepherd and carrying this sheep on his shoulders. And I happened to be back in the hallway before that scene, and so I knew that that man had given that sheep a light tranquilizer. Just to make sure that that sheep stayed laying and resting on his shoulders. And I guess the drugs weren't quite strong enough. Or the effect wore off too soon, because just as he got to the stage and ascended the steps, that sheep woke up in a fit, and it started fighting and shaking, and that man just grabbed onto that sheep in a death lock and just buckled down, and he was shaking all over the place. He finally is calmly and quickly as he could got out of the sanctuary. It was hilarious. And when I read the story of the shepherd carrying the sheep on his shoulder, I can't help but think of that. But here's the thing. That man was not that sheep's shepherd. That man was not rescuing that sheep. That whole scene was a sham, and we knew it, but all that sheep knew was, this man isn't my shepherd, and he's taking me where I don't belong. And there will be times when you find yourself in the wrong place, being carried by the wrong thing, headed where you don't belong. But when the Lord is your shepherd, let Him carry you. Rest on Him and trust in Him. He has come to rescue you, to love you, to recover you, to rejoice over your repentance, and to carry you on His shoulders. Let the shepherd carry you. Tommy, would you come on up with the musicians? Rest on Him and trust in Him. God can carry you when you cannot get yourself back home. And I'm here to tell you who the Savior is. His name is Jesus. And He loves you with a rescuing love. So let Him carry you. And He will carry you all the way home.